The primary threat to Ukrainians is conventional artillery, conventional missiles, and conventional ground forces.
New U.S. help for Ukraine. It's Friday, March 18th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us online. You'll find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, New Zealand plans to open up, fighting an online war, Sri Lanka energy crisis, digital tokens go physical, the arts for everyone. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden announced $800 million in new security assistance to help Ukraine defend itself against the Russian invasion, in addition to the $200 million he allocated last week. This followed an address by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to the U.S. Congress earlier Wednesday. From the White House, Patsy Whitaker-Swara has this report.
Fighting between Russian and Ukrainian forces is intensifying in Kyiv, Mariupol, and other Ukrainian cities.
Putin is inflicting appalling devastation and horror on Ukraine, bombing apartment buildings, maternity wards, hospitals.
U.S. President Joe Biden approved $800 million in new security aid for Ukraine, in addition to the $200 million he allocated Saturday. These are part of a $13.6 billion aid package that the U.S. Congress passed last week. The $800 million will be for direct transfers of equipment, including anti-aircraft systems, anti-armor missiles, armed drones, small arms, ammunition, and body armor.
What's really stopping the Russians inflicting considerable costs on the Russian military are these anti-aircraft weapons and systems. So I think there's a sort of tactical, practical reason why the focus has fallen on these weapon systems.
Earlier Wednesday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky virtually addressed the U.S. Congress and pleaded to Biden.
I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace.
Despite Zelensky's request, the U.S. will neither facilitate transfer of fighter jets nor support a no-fly zone.
The primary threat to Ukrainians is conventional artillery, conventional missiles, and conventional ground forces. A no-fly zone would affect none of that. So it runs a serious risk of escalation in exchange for very little effect on the actual course of events on the ground militarily in Ukraine. Transferring Polish fighter jets to the Ukrainians is the same kind of story.
Also Wednesday, NATO defense chiefs, including U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, met in Brussels. Fearing Moscow may broaden its attack to target NATO territory, the alliance is drawing up plans for new ways to deter Russia, said Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
To remove any room for miscalculation or misunderstanding in Moscow about our readiness to protect and defend all allies.
$4 billion from the $13.6 billion approved by Congress will provide humanitarian support for the more than 3 million Ukrainians displaced by the war. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
India is exploring the possibility of buying oil from Russia amid sanctions imposed by Western countries in the wake of its invasion of Ukraine. India's petroleum and natural gas minister said in Parliament this week that the government was having discussions with Russia on crude oil purchases. A report in the Times of India newspaper said India is close to finalizing a deal to buy 3.5 million barrels of Russian crude at deep discounts. It attributed the report to people aware of the development, but who requested anonymity to discuss the matter. India is the world's third largest importer of oil, depending on crude from overseas for over 80% of its needs. As the story develops, you can follow it with us online at VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. Also check us out on our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Biden and Chinese President Xi to discuss Russia's war against Ukraine and economic competition. North Korea quiet on missile failure that rained debris near Pyongyang. U.S.-Pakistan relations ebb after Afghanistan withdrawal. For first time, India cargo travels via Pakistan, Afghanistan to Uzbekistan. Reports of fake banknotes rise amid economic turmoil in Myanmar. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found daily. Visit us at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and voanews.com. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. New Zealand has brought forward its plans to allow in international travelers after more than 2 years of COVID-19 border closures. Australians will be permitted to enter without needing to quarantine or isolate from April 13th. Fully vaccinated travelers from about 60 countries, including Canada, Britain, and the United States, will follow in early May. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Most international travelers have been banned from New Zealand since March 2020. Border closures and strict lockdowns were at the heart of a COVID elimination strategy that did work initially. However, New Zealand's defences were eventually overwhelmed by the Delta and Omicron variants. Daily case numbers are now above 20,000. Just a few weeks ago, they were below 1,000. Even so, the government says it's able to bring forward its plans to reopen the borders by several weeks because of New Zealand's strong health response to COVID-19, including high rates of vaccinations. It's recorded only about 115 deaths during the pandemic, according to official figures. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says it's time to reconnect with the rest of the world.
We have now received guidance that it is safe to significantly bring forward the next stage of border reopening work to welcome back our tourists. In doing so, we are sending a very clear message that we are accelerating our economic recovery. Closing our border was one of the first actions we took to stop COVID-19 over 2 years ago, and its reopening will spur our economic recovery throughout the remainder of the year.
In February, New Zealand said international tourists would be able to return from July, but said this date would likely be moved forwards. It now has. Tourists from about 60 countries, including Canada, Britain, and the United States, will be permitted to enter in early May. Australians will be allowed to travel to New Zealand without needing to quarantine or isolate from April 13. All visitors must be vaccinated and provide a negative COVID-19 test before departing for New Zealand. Travel industry officials in New Zealand have welcomed the accelerated reopening of the borders. Government figures have shown that tourism generated more than 5% of the country's national income, or GDP, before the pandemic and employed 8% of the workforce. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, fighting a war online. Happening now in Asia, people in northeast Japan are cleaning up and surveying the damage after a powerful 7.4 magnitude earthquake derailed a bullet train, opened cracks in highways, and initially cut power to over 2 million homes. At least one death was directly caused by the overnight quake. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We've made it to the end of the week. It's great to have you with us on VOA Asia. The Russian war on Ukraine is also happening online as people share images from around Ukraine. Caught in the middle are U.S. technology firms, which have taken steps to curtail Russian propaganda and make changes for Ukrainian safety. It's a fine line to walk, as VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
A woman confronting Russian troops. A defiant president. Assembling homemade explosives. Around the world, people are turning to social media to see, in real time, the conflict unfolding in Ukraine, retweeting or reposting what they see.
Social media has clearly been weaponized in this conflict. Russian propagandists have tried to use social media to justify their invasion of Ukraine. Ukrainians, in turn, have used social media to publicize their acts of resistance and to try to galvanize international action against Russia And so far, that has been a great effect.
In the middle are tech companies. Having learned from other crises, these firms have moved quickly. Facebook, Google, and others have reduced the spread of Russian disinformation by banning state-sponsored media and, in some cases, blocking all Russian ads on their services. Some have instituted new measures to reduce potential harm to Ukrainians, encrypting direct messaging over Instagram, for example, or hiding real-time Ukrainian traffic information on Apple and Google Maps.
There's a tension now between people asking them to move fast and at the same time, other people asking them to be careful and make thoughtful moves.
So far, tech companies appear to be staying in Russia or trying to do so, although Apple stopped product sales in Russia and pulled state media apps from its app store. It hasn't blocked the App Store altogether in the country. Neither has Google with Google Play, its App Store. Observers say tech firms should be careful to follow their own rules and guidelines when it comes to cutting off services, not just do the bidding of one government.
The companies are going to need, I think, to look for ways to ensure that on the one hand, Russians have access to their tools, and they're going to have to withstand, I think, increasing pressure from the government to not make those tools available.
On Friday, the Kremlin blocked access to Facebook and Twitter, making it difficult for its citizens to access services.
How do we ensure that this space remains available for, you know, robust access to information and freedom of expression, but at the same time allows us, meaning the public, companies, governments, to deal with the harms.
As the situation changes, the discussion about the role of social media in the conflict will likely change as well. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Now that you've heard the story, be sure to see it. Check it out on VOA Asia Facebook.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. A Cambodian court has convicted exiled opposition leader Sam Rainsy and 20 other opposition figures and activists of treason and other charges. Rainsy and seven exiled leaders were sentenced to 10 years in prison. Rainsy is a co-founder of the disbanded Cambodia National Rescue Party and a critic of Prime Minister Hun Sen. Find this and all the big stories on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. There's much more to come on VOA Asia. Right now, Sri Lanka endures an energy crisis, and Bangladesh weaves an old favorite. These are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Chris Casquejo.
Sri Lanka's public transport was crippled last week as buses ran out of diesel. Officials said the country's foreign exchange crisis worsened with no dollars to import fuel. The Private Bus Owners Association said they were able to operate only about a quarter of their fleet of 20,000 vehicles, while drivers reported queuing for 7 hours to top up fuel. Many commuters were seen using their own motorcycles and small cars after bus operators warned of drastically scaled back schedules. One of Sri Lanka's biggest fuel suppliers, Lanka IOC, put up prices by as much as 12% last Saturday, while the state-owned Ceylon Petroleum Corporation, CPC, said it too asked the government to allow it to raise prices. Desmond, a commuter, had this to say about the situation.
Very difficult to go to work these days because no diesel for us to go by a bus and a train.
The transport shutdown came as 7.5-hour electricity blackouts also went into effect, the longest scheduled power rationing in over a quarter of a century. Energy Minister Udaya Gamanpila has described the oil shortage as the worst economic crisis since independence from Britain in 1948. With wooden spinning wheels and hand-drawn looms, Bangladesh is painstakingly resurrecting a fabric once worn by Marie Antoinette and Jane Austen, but long thought forever lost to history. Dhaka muslin was stretched from threads so fine that popular folklore in European parlors held that a change in the light or a sudden rain shower would render its wearer apparently naked. The textile once brought significant riches to the lands where it was spun. But to revive it, botanists had to hunt halfway across the world and back for a plant believed gone from the face of the earth. The quest to bring back Bangladeshi muslin began with a painstaking 5-year search for the specific flower used to weave the fabric, which only grows near the capital, Dhaka. Muslin weaver Makadis Hussain.
I used to be a weaver. I heard lots of stories about muslin from my grandfather. Now I've become part of this historical project. Now I can proudly claim that I have turned into an artist.
The country has no shortage of garment workers, but the muslin project needed to source artisans from the small cottage industry of spinners and weavers working with fragile threads. The intense labor needed means that any garment stitched from Dhaka muslin will always remain a boutique product, but the government has found tentative interest from some established industry players. For Business Scene, I'm Chris Cascajo.
Making headlines in Asia, U.S. Olympic figure skater Elisa Liu and her father Arthur Liu, a former political refugee, are said to be among those targeted in a spying operation that the Justice Department alleges was ordered by the Chinese government. Arthur Liu told the Associated Press he had been contacted by the FBI last October and warned about the scheme. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, until recently, fans of NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, have lacked ways to show off their digital collections. Matt Dibble looks at a company bringing NFTs into the physical world.
The market for digital collectibles known as NFTs has exploded recently. Basketball highlights, original video art, even tweets have been marketed as NFTs. Recorded in a blockchain, NFT purchases turn digital files into something unique and potentially valuable. In 2021, the equivalent of over $40 billion was spent on NFTs, according to Chainalysis. That's a lot of money for a digital collectible a buyer can't easily show off. Social media has taken notice. Users of Twitter's premium service can now replace their profile picture with an NFT they own in a distinctive hexagonal frame. NFTs should have a place in the offline world as well, says Joe Saavedra.
Video is how we tell stories. And so keeping it locked up in your app, in an app or on your phone or in a browser, I think is just not doing it the justice it deserves.
Saavedra founded Infinite Objects to bring video into homes and offices in a new way.
It's really exciting to think of it almost as a sculpture.
An infinite object frame has no on-off switch or controls of any kind. The only video it will ever show comes already sealed inside. It can be an NFT, something from the Infinite Objects gallery, or just your pet looking cute.
When you take it out of the box, the unit turns on in your hand, so the video starts playing after about a second. It's very magical.
The frames, which come in 3 sizes, are a way for digital artists to market their work in limited editions, like traditional printmakers.
We're creating value for video content through scarcity, authenticity, and collectability.
Always on and looping endlessly. It's a new way for fans to appreciate this 21st century art form. Matt Dibble for VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
An international team of scientists has discovered a unique grouping of stars known as a stellar stream on the far edge of the Milky Way. Using the facilities of the Gemini Observatory's North Telescope in Hawaii, the scientists found evidence that the stars were once part of a globular cluster, which is a collection of ancient stars and are remnants from the Milky Way's early history. The scientists noted that the stream of stars named C19 has a lower number of heavier metals compared to many other stellar systems in and close to the galaxy. According to a Gemini Observatory press release, the orbit of C-19 reaches a distance between about 20,000 to 90,000 light years from the Milky Way's galactic center. Team members first spotted C-19 within data gathered from the ESA Gaia mission by using an algorithm they designed specially to find stellar streams. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The arts may be a luxury many children of underprivileged families can't afford, but at the Sitar Arts Center in Washington, D.C., it's available to all who want to participate. VOA's Virginia Gunawan reports.
Each of these children grab their brush, choose their own colors, and work together to create a massive painting together. This painting class is among the activities at Sitar Arts Center in Washington, D.C. Children aged 3 to young adolescents participate in arts classes, from musical instrument classes, dance, to digital arts.
I've seen young people come in who have never taken an art class and gotten to take visual art, the painting and dance and theater, and really getting to experience the whole gamut, to students who know that they love to draw and really getting to get really in-depth into visual art, and then go, these students, different students going off and studying the arts or really being able to use the experience to learn how to communicate better.
Founded in 2000 by Rhonda Buckley, Sitar Arts Center was named after Buckley's mentor, Patricia Sitar, a socially engaged creative spirit who since the 1970s has worked to use art to better the lives of others in the city. Situated in the affluent Adams Morgan area of Washington, D.C., some 80% of the students at Sitar Arts Center come from households that make less than 60% of the median income.
We have a sliding fee scale so that based on the family's household size and their income level, the tuition rate is different. We also don't turn a family away if they cannot pay. So we have other things in place, some like community service, so that they can have other ways of paying.
Sisters Laura and Lorena have been trying out several programs at the center.
I feel like physical acting helped me a lot because, like, since we're acting, we have to be very clear with our voices. Oh, we can't, like, mumble down like that. So this actually really helped me with my social skills at school. I was actually better at presenting my, like, presentations at school.
For me, what helped me the most is SEALs. We get to communicate, like, know what's important out in the world. And in class, that helped me. Like, I got to start talking more to people. I got communicating, and I felt like a leader.
SEALS is a leadership program at Sitar Arts Center to build teenagers' confidence. Their mother, Norma, can see the difference in their daughters after taking part in SEALS.
Now, so she's taking ballet, and I like ballet because that made her have discipline. They have to practice, they have to fill it up a paper, and I have to sign that paper like they really doing her job. And then, so it's like enjoying and make more responsible for that.
During the pandemic, Sitar Arts Center had to drastically reduce in-person programs, but that does not stop them from creating new and fun online classes.
So we have a class called Creative Baking, which is for older students, and then we have a class called Family Food Crafts, which is one that families do together with their students.
After more than 20 years operating, Sitar Arts Center continues its mission to provide sustainable programs to its students. Virginia Gunawan, VOA News, Washington.
That's our program for today and for this week. Thanks for listening to VOA Asia. Continue with us online over the weekend. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and be sure to come back at the same time on Monday. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jessica Stone. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.